Our reading tonight comes from Matthew 12, verse 33 through 37. Either I make the tree good and its fruit good, or I make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Well, good evening. I'm so excited to be able to speak tonight here at Henderson. This is a great opportunity for those of us who want to go into ministry to have a time of practice to speak in front of an audience, a time of real life experience. Hold on just a second. There went my lesson. That's embarrassing. All right. Anyway, this is a great opportunity for those of us who are wanting to go into ministry to have that opportunity. And I thank y'all so much for allowing us to come here and to be able to learn and to be able to have this opportunity. I said I was appreciative for it. Anyway, tomorrow, that's a big day, isn't it? Valentine's Day. Some people may be like, yes, Valentine's Day, I'm so excited. I'm going to spend it with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. We're going to have the best time. And then the rest of us are sitting here like, ugh, that's nasty. Valentine's Day is one of those days you either love it or you hate it. But it's coming whether you like it or not, unless the Lord comes before then. And on Valentine's Day, it's the day where we see hearts all over the place, and we give those Valentines, or we wear a heart. And if you talk to someone, you have to give them the heart if you play that game. And there's hearts all associated with it. Now, I think it's no coincidence that matters of the heart is what we're going to talk about tonight on that same week, the same Valentine's week of the year. So go on and turn in your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 4, if you will. Proverbs chapter 4. He was considered a traitor by his own people. He was considered, if you asked his people, who's the worst kind of person you know? They would have thought about him and people like him probably before almost anyone else. And one day he walks into the temple, and so does a Pharisee, and they both begin to pray. And the Pharisee is proud. He's probably coming in there like, look at me. He's probably trying to see who's watching him pray, and he says, God, thank you that I am not like this tax collector. Thank you that I'm not like him. I do all these great things for you. I give of my money. I give you my time. I fast twice a week. I give my alms. I don't do all this list of sins. But then we see the tax collector. The man who was considered a traitor by his people. The man that most people thought was just the scum of the earth. He kneels down and he says, God, be merciful to me, sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. We see here in this passage a contrast between someone who is proud and self-righteous, and it's all about me, even though that was the person that everyone looked at. That was a spiritual leader. That was the kind of person that everyone looked up to, right? We see that he was the one that actually had the bad heart. And the one with the pure heart was the tax collector, who said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when Jesus told this parable in Luke chapter 18, it probably came as a surprise to the people who were listening. It probably came as a shock because they didn't like the tax collectors. And the Pharisees, that was people they looked up to. That was their spiritual leaders. But Jesus shows us through this parable that it doesn't matter how many people look up to you. It doesn't matter how many people think that we've got it all together. It doesn't matter how many great things that we do. It doesn't matter how we show these good works to the world. if our heart is not in the right place, none of it matters. If our heart is not in the right place, none of that matters. And so tonight, I want us to look at our heart. We're going to do some cardiology, if you will. We're going to try to work on our hearts tonight. And we're going to look at the book of Proverbs in three passages and see what they had to tell us about ways that we can improve our heart, ways that we can get our heart to be in the right place tonight. So my question for you tonight is, does your heart make it to where you do all this great stuff for God and it's you're doing all these things that are seen by everyone and you try to look like you got it together when in fact really you don't have it together? Is your heart putting on a show tonight? Or is your heart one of genuineness, one of sincerity? Is our motivation to do God's will, is it some pretense that we have? Or is it actually for the glory of God? Now let me tell you, I struggle with this. But I believe that together, and through God, we can overcome this together. So our first proverb that we're going to be looking at is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And it says, "But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." This is in a passage that's talking about the two ways of life that we can live on. We can either be on the way, the narrow way, as Jesus describes it, or we can be on that broad, wide way that leads to death. We can be on the way that God wants us to, the Christian life, or we can be on the way that is the life that the world tries to tell us to live. So which road is your heart on tonight? Are we on the narrow way or are we on the wide way? Are we on, as the passage says, the path of righteousness, or are we on the way of wickedness? I fear sometimes in our lives, I fear sometimes in my life, that I've been on the way of wickedness, but I've been telling myself I was on the path of righteousness. Sometimes we can be on that way of kind of living like the world lives. But we try to show everyone and try to even convince ourselves that we're on the path of righteousness. Which road are we on tonight? The verse says, once again, "But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." In order for us to get our hearts onto the right path, onto that path of righteousness, we first need to realize that that's the path that's the best choice. That path is the best choice. A lot of times the devil will try to get us to think otherwise. But that path is the best choice. We have the best life as Christians. We have forgiveness of our sins. No other life can offer that. We have we have hope and peace. We have the love of the greatest family in the church that there is. And yet we have tough spots in our life. So does everybody else. But we have God to guide us through those times. And we have our Christian family who will help us through that as well. You see, the devil, he's going to try to get us to think that the way of wickedness, that's the most attractive life. That's the life that we're going to find the most enjoyment in, the most happiness in, the most peace in. That's when we're finally going to be satisfied, is when we live like the rest of the world. That's what the devil's going to tell us. But the fact of the matter is, it's never the truth. The fact of the matter is that it will never bring us the kind of joy and peace that the path of righteousness will. Because God is on that path with us. And God is the only one that will bring us happiness. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in one of the later Proverbs that we talk about. But the way of wickedness is never worth it. And we have to realize that tonight. When the devil is tempting us to get onto that way, when he's tempting us to sin, which will eventually bring us to that way, we've got to know that it's never worth it. That wide road, that way of wickedness, the wide, smooth, easy road, it's a toll road. And the price is our soul. and the destination is death. And we've got to realize that tonight. It's not worth it. So which path is our heart on tonight? Are we living on the way of wickedness, but tell people and try to show people that we're living a righteous life, on the path of righteousness? It's an easy temptation to give in to wanting to show people that. So first, for our heart to be in the right place, we've got to make sure that we're on the path of righteousness. And that's the way, that's the place that we need to stay. And so our next principle that we're going to be looking at is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. So go on and turn there with me. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Not only does our heart need to be on the path of righteousness, but we've got to know who we're going to trust and who we're going to listen to. Proverbs 16 verse 20 says, "Whoever gives thought to the word will answer," excuse me, "whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." So imagine that you're on a plane and you're flying over the ocean. I don't know where you're going, but you're flying over the ocean and you're out in the middle and the plane, something goes wrong and it crashes. And you're like, you know, the lone survivor person of this. It's kind of like Castaway. You're on a desert island by yourself with a volleyball. And there's no way, it seems, for you to get away from there. But you decide, like anyone else in that situation would, I want to get off of this island. I want to get back to the mainland. I want to get back to my home. And so you start swimming. And you get out 100 yards, 200 yards. If you're like me and you're not in shape, that is a really long way to swim. And so you're dead tired by now. And so you see a boat coming beside you. It's a motorboat, and it's actually a pretty nice one. It's big enough to carry you. And the guy in it says, "Hey man, come on. I'll take you to where I'm going. I'm going back to the shore." And you say, "Nah, man, I'm good." "What? You wouldn't take that? No, I can make it myself." See, that's exactly what it's like when we don't trust our lives to God. When we don't trust our lives to God, it's like being in the middle of the ocean and trying to swim to the shore all by ourselves when we know very well that we can't make it on our own. And we won't make it on our own. God is offering that lifeboat, and he's got plenty of room for us. And he wants to help us so much. But so often we refuse because we think we can do it on our own. So often we think we can do it on our own. What we need to realize tonight, for our heart to be in the right place, we've got to trust God. Our trust cannot be in ourselves, because we are not the ones that can take us to where we need to go like God can. Proverbs 16:20 says, once again, "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." The verse can be translated a couple different ways. My version says, "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good." Other translations say, "Give heed to instruction," or "handle a matter wisely." What the point really is of the verse, and the idea being conveyed here, is that of listening to a wise oracle. Listening to someone who knows what they're talking about, knows the way to go and what to do. And we know in that passage, in this passage, that we're talking about God. Because it says in the rest of the verse, "Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Are we listening to what God has to tell us? The idea here is, are we listening to that oracle, that person that knows a lot more than we do? Are we listening to what God has to say to us? You see, if we want our hearts to be in the right place, if we want that pure heart, then we have got to be filling it daily with the Word of God. How's your Bible reading life going? Do we read our Bibles on an everyday basis? Do we need to? Are we filling our hearts with the Word of God every day? You see, God wants to communicate with us. And we need to listen to what He's got to say. Are we listening to God? I'm a firm believer that merely reading the Word of God can change your life. That merely listening to what God has to say can change your life, because it's God that we're listening to. And God has the power to change our hearts. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." When we read the Bible with an open heart, then our heart's going to change. If we want to have that right heart, we need to be filling it with what needs to be in there, and that's the Word of God. And I know that it will change us. I know for a fact the Word of God has changed my life and so many others, and it can change yours as well. And not only do we need to be listening to God, but we need to trust Him. Like I was talking about with being lost at sea. God is like that boat coming along that can take us to where we need to go. We can't get there on our own. We can't get to heaven on our own. We've got to have God. We've got to have God and His Son and His Spirit. If we want our hearts to really be in the right place, then we absolutely have to trust in the Lord. God is the only one who can really create in me a clean heart. He's the only one who can renew a right spirit within me. Why is it so often that we trust in ourselves instead of the God who made us all, who made heaven and earth, who made the sun, the moon, the stars, who made galaxies that are so far away that if you travel there at the speed of light, you wouldn't get there for years and years and years and centuries? That's the God that we serve. And He's a lot more powerful than I am. Why do we trust in ourselves instead of Him? He's the one that I want to have on my side when things get difficult. He's the one that I want to be on His side on the day of judgment. And going back to talking about that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee trusted in himself. He trusted in his good conduct and all that good stuff that he had done. He was proud of all that. But then we saw the tax collector who laid himself at the feet of God and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Do we trust God like that? See, for our hearts to be in the right place, we need to trust God like that. We need to lay ourselves at His feet and say, "God, You're more powerful than I am. You're more capable than I am of accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. You're more capable of than I am for me to be forgiven." We need to know that God is way more powerful than us and trust in Him because of that. So if we're going to have pure hearts, our hearts don't need to be about ourselves. They need to be about God. And we need to trust in Him. And so not only to get a good heart do we need to be on that path of righteousness. And not only do we need to listen and trust God. But let's finally look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. And see what else it tells us. And we'll apply this to our lives as well. In the search for a clean heart, the search for a pure heart. Proverbs 19 verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has at rest satisfied, he will not be visited by harm." The fear of the Lord. Do we have that fear of God? And I'm not just talking about the scary fear, the kind of fear that I don't like, you know, like going through a haunted house or something. I'm talking about that respect that we have of God. Do we respect God? Do we respect who He is? Do we respect Him to where we know that God loves me? And I love God. But God also has the power to determine where I spend my eternity. Do we have that power? Do we have that respect of God? It says here in the verse, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied." Are we satisfied tonight? I'm afraid that a lot of times we live in a constant state of not being satisfied. A lot of times we're not satisfied. We want something else. The grass is always greener on the other side. We say, I wish I was about to graduate. I wish I was just done with all this school stuff. I wish I had a girlfriend, or I wish I had a boyfriend, or I wish I was engaged, or I wish I could go ahead and be working a job, or I wish just my classes were easier. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And then, finally, I would be satisfied. Then, finally, I will be satisfied. And every time we want something else, we say, and then finally, I will be satisfied when I have this. But we see that that's not how it works, because we keep getting things, and we get those things that we wish for. And we see that when we finally do, then we're still not satisfied. So we see that satisfaction does not come and cannot come through our life circumstances. That's not where we're going to find satisfaction. We can only find satisfaction through God. We can only find that happiness through God. He who fears the Lord will be satisfied. That's what it says here in our verse. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. So if you're not satisfied tonight, maybe we need to change a heart. Maybe it's time to get that respect of God that we so desperately need. If we're not satisfied tonight, maybe it's time to turn our lives over to Him. Do we fear the Lord? Or do we put up a pretense before Him? Kind of a mask. That when it's convenient, we'll put it on and, yeah, I love God. And it makes it look like we fear God and we love God and we respect God and we're about Him or we're about His business. Or is our heart in the wrong place with that? Do we make it look like we love God when we really don't have that relationship with Him that we need to have? Or do we have a genuine relationship with God tonight? Is God more like someone that you pass on the sidewalk on the way to class? Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Oh, good. And that's it. Is that the kind of relationship that we have with God? Never getting any deeper. Or do we have that genuine, deep love for Him? And do we trust Him? Have we been putting on a show, or are we giving God the genuine love and respect that He deserves? Because only then will we have that satisfaction and a heart that is right with God. Tonight I encourage you, if your heart isn't where it ought to be, let's change that right now. If your heart's not where it needs to be, then right now is when it needs to change. If your heart is that of someone who is putting on that pretense, making it look like to everyone else, yeah, I'm a Christian, I've got it all together, and I love God, and all that. If that's where our heart is tonight, and it's just a show, then it's time to change that right now. But tonight, I hope that most of us have that genuine heart that says, I make mistakes, but I've got a God who forgives me, and I'm trying to live for Him and to glorify Him through all my actions. Tonight, if you haven't become a Christian, it's time to purify your heart for the first time, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But maybe tonight you have fallen off that path of righteousness. Or maybe tonight you're not trusting God like you ought to. Or maybe your heart doesn't have the proper respect of God that it should. Tonight we're ready to pray with you, and God is ready to help you. If you have any need at all, please come as we stand and sing.